Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to bring you biblical perspectives and practical strategies for advancing the kingdom of God right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Huizinga. Whether you're listening to us here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. This is episode 6 of season 3, and it's the second episode in our new, shorter, weekly format. During the course of our summer hiatus, Dave and I have both had the opportunity to talk with a number of listeners from around the country and around the world about things we've covered so far on the podcast and about their needs, your needs, and ongoing questions. Those conversations have helped shape what we're going to be about going forward. So let's get started. Dave, today we're concentrating on going back to the beginning. You and I both have had people ask, where do I start? I agree with you, but where do I start in engaging those around me for the kingdom? How would you respond to that?
Well, a couple statements about the question, where do I start? One statement is, you started when you became a believer in Jesus Christ. Because what happened to you when you became a believer in Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you became a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So something beautiful started then. And then the Bible is very clear, and Jesus has been clear, the Apostle Paul is very clear in the Bible, that when you become a believer in Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. And that is something that happens to every believer. There's a baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit that dwells within us a stream of living water. The Apostle Paul says that we've all been baptized by one Spirit. He even says later in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, he says that we have become temples of the Holy Spirit. So when you become a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. There's something that needs to happen, though. We need at some point to be able to say to the Holy Spirit, okay, now you're living inside me, but now come and fill me or empower me, come upon me so that I am empowered. So there's some things that we need to pay attention to and do before we start. We need to say and yield our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit. Then, when we start, we'll know that wherever we are, there is the light of Christ, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that whoever we touch, whoever we speak to, when we yield to the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we yield to the manifest work of the Holy Spirit in us, He touches our words, He touches our touch, so that they can be touched with the actual work of the Holy Spirit. And I love how Peter actually says it in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. He says that we are to, the Greek language actually says that we are to distribute the grace of God that as it has been given to us. He's talking about the work of the Spirit in us. We're to give out His work. We're to give out the Holy Spirit as He has been given to us. So the very beautiful start is realizing who we actually are and how we have been equipped before we even begin. Any thoughts on that, Don?
Well, it strikes me from what you're saying that prayer is always our starting point.
Very
but
good.
It isn't our stopping point.
Amen. Yes.
You know, we can be involved in a prayer group.
Yep.
We can pray regularly on our own or with other folks, but that's not all. That's not the sum total of what our responsibility is. Just like you were talking about, the apostles in the book of Acts repeatedly, time after time, are recorded as coming into a situation and then they prayed and were filled and then went out and did something.
Yes.
Prayer for them brought specific empowerment and strategy for the moment.
Yes.
And it was born of waiting and listening. So prayer is definitely communication. And often we will pray, and we talked about this before, we will pray, but our approach to prayer is to give God our Christmas list.
Yes.
Or ask him to baptize our agenda.
Right.
We may even go so far as to explain in detail what the situation is and then give him suggestions on how to fix it. When in fact, he knows already. And what we need to be doing in prayer is welcoming the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to fill us and saturate us and surround us with his presence, and to give us divine strategy for the moment. And then move out into it, right where we are, whatever our sphere of influence is.
I agree. So then, when we capture and understand that we bring the Spirit into every place we go and to pray his filling, it's good to know what our spheres of influence are. It's good to identify. So a tool that I've been using to identify spheres of influence is just look at the W questions and then be able to identify. So one W question is where? Where am I going to be this week? Where am I going to be today? So today I ask the question, where am I going to be? This evening I'm going to be with my wife with a number of medical people at a teaching session that medical people have invited my wife to and that I'm also invited to because I'm her husband. Well, these medical people don't know what's going to happen to them. They know I'm coming, but they don't know that I'm also bringing the presence of the Holy Spirit. So while I'm there, I'm in a sphere of influence. The people I'm sitting next to are great scientists, but they don't know the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go into that meeting tonight with my heart wide open and ready for what the Holy Spirit may say. He may say to me, okay, interject these words. He may say, pray for the person next to you. He may say, I want to manifest in this situation. That person has a back issue. Go pray for them. Whatever. I'm just going to go ready. And my mind and my heart, my will be ready. So another W question is a when. And so I need to, when I start my day, I need to ask the Lord, is there any point in my day, Lord, that you want me to be aware? And the Lord may say right at the beginning, I want you to be aware when you blah, blah, blah. So I start with where, I start with when, and I ask the Holy Spirit to break into them because I'm identifying those spheres in my day. Now, if we back up and we look at not just days, but we look at our general experience of life and we apply the W's to there, where? So where am I living? Well, I'm living in a neighborhood. And when I look at my neighbors, I can become strategic about my neighbors being a sphere of influence in my life. And I can look at parties that my neighborhood has, or I could take walks down the street, look for neighbors that are outside. I can start a alpha course in my neighborhood so that my neighbors can come to the alpha course. Whatever my spheres are in my neighborhood, I can apply whatever the Spirit says to it. So in the process of identifying our spheres, we can ask those W questions. Don?
in response to what you're saying, Dave, I guess I would want to add the who and say we need to be aware of who also we are in proximity with and be aware that the Holy Spirit is guiding us into a place that can be a breakthrough
for that
person in that time and space.
What do you mean by breakthrough?
There may be something going on that we're unaware of, that they may even be unaware of, where they need to hear a truth in a way that comes with power that they have never heard before. Or they may need to experience that presence of God in a way that they have never experienced before. You know, it strikes me that we are very inclined in our culture to sit back and be kind of, I think of it in terms of being a thermostat versus a thermometer. Or a barometer. You know, a barometer tells you what's going on in the atmosphere, and a thermostat sets the atmosphere. It sets the temperature. You know, we can either be controlled by what's going on and go with the flow, or our presence can, without being pushy or bullying about it, our presence can set and shift the atmosphere because we carry the presence of God. I think of Peter and John. You know, they're walking down the street. They probably were just two guys at that point in time and space in the story in Acts. You know, they're walking down the street, maybe looking for a McDonald's because they're hungry, or, you know, looking to check into a local breakfast joint and get an omelet.
Quiche.
You know, they've been dealing with establishing business along the way. Who are the deacons going to be that are going to take care of the poor and the widows in this particular church? They're on a mission trip, and not every moment of a mission trip is governed by ministry, you know.
Right.
There's just some stuff that has to happen to take care of day-to-day life.
Right.
They're walking down the street, and they're on their way to pray. They're not at the place of prayer. They're on their way to pray. It says Peter and John went to pray, and the presence of God fell where this guy that they hadn't been expecting says, alms for the poor, this lame guy. And they just looked at him. You know, they didn't, you know, start a service. They just looked at him very straightforwardly and said, look, man, we don't have any cash. Silver and gold, we have none. But what we do have, we can give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And in that moment, the guy experienced his breakthrough, and he was healed. There's another instance recorded in Acts where the presence of God, it says the shadow of Peter passed over a guy, and he was healed. Peter didn't even talk to the guy. Just the presence of God, the word in the Greek is the outshadowing. It's what was emanating from him, what was radiating from him. The presence of God that he carried on the inside was so big that it stuck out all over. And as he walked by, the presence of God brushed over this guy, and he was healed. And our presence in a place, because we are carriers of the presence of God, can bring about a breakthrough for someone, at times without our even opening our mouths. Too often, I think, we want to plan things out, and we see strategy and prayer as two different activities functioning in two different realms. And that comes out of a view that there's this practical world that we live in, and then there's these spiritual issues. And we pray about the spiritual issues, and sometimes we pray about the practical issues, but our understanding really grows out of the fact that in America we are, as Christians, essentially closet materialists. You know, we want to do all the practical strategic stuff in a business type meeting and deal with the natural and deal with the game plan and then pray about the spiritual stuff. When in fact we need to realize that we don't live in a two-story universe. We need to account for the unseen forces that are present and influencing everything around us. We need strategy that's born of the awareness that what we see is not all that it is. You know, the disciples woke Jesus up out of a sound sleep in the middle of a storm, going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The swarm's going to swamp us. And Jesus got up, and all he did was speak one word. You know, and he didn't pray, oh, Father, the storm and the wind and the waves are going to overtake us and we're going to drown and you need to send your protection. He just got up and he said, hush. And the wind and the waves hushed. We need to realize that we can step into this multifaceted, eyes wide open, anointed existence wherever we are, under whatever circumstances. Because Jesus is Lord of all, and he gives us authority in all things.
So whatever we identify, the whos, the wheres, the whats, whatever we identify as spheres of influence, it is key for us to know that wherever we go into those places, we go with the authority of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's a sense of calling. Now, I would like to look at how God called Paul to go into Asia Minor and into Macedonia. But there was a time when Paul was, in Acts chapter 16, he was moving past Antioch, and he was moving toward Troas, and he wanted to preach the gospel in Bithynia, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit said no, and he stopped Paul from going deeper into Asia Minor because it wasn't time yet. And so Paul knew that if he operated apart from God's calling, that he would miss out in a sphere of influence, and he would do a lot of work for naught. So he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he went to Troas because there was a sphere of influence in Philippi, and the Lord wanted to send him to Philippi because Lydia was there waiting for someone to bring the truth of Jesus Christ because she and her whole family wanted to become believers. Well, Paul did not know that, but the Holy Spirit did. So the Holy Spirit steered Paul to a place where he could sit and listen, and the Holy Spirit could give Paul a vision about going to Macedonia. So sometimes we need to listen to where the Lord would have the most effective place for us to be. What is a sphere of influence that the Lord wants to commission us into so that we can bring Christ's authority and the presence of the Holy Spirit into that sphere? We'll have a sense about it when we wake up. We'll have a sense about it as we go about our day. There will be a timing involved when we think about where God would have us. And we've just got to be aware. So we need to identify our spheres, and then we need to be aware of where God is calling us to bring his authority and his presence.
And we can move in that kind of authority and presence just the same as Paul did.
Yes.
Right time, right place, and see God move.
Yes.
And see his purposes unfold just the way they did then. We have a friend in central India, region about 4 hours from north central India, in a region about 4 hours from Calcutta, who has a team of church planters. And these are guys who work normal jobs too. You know, they're involved in preaching and traveling and church planting, but, you know, some of them are business people, some of them are farmers. And there's about 30 guys on this team who, over the course of the last 10 years, have planted 10,000 village-level and household churches.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
And half of these guys literally came to Christ because Jesus visited them in a vision. These guys were Muslims or Hindus who were working their job but were investigating this or that with regard to their faith, and they were visited by Jesus in a vision and told, go to this place and so will explain to you what I want of you. Very much a Paul-like circumstance happening today, 2,000 years after Paul. God moves like that. And you, whoever you are as a listener, might just be in a place where you're being guided to be in the right place at the right time for a person who is being drawn by the Holy Spirit. And you're there to hear and to intercede and to intervene and to be God's hands and feet. Or as another friend of mine calls it, the presence of God with skin on it. It doesn't mean that we have to all become itinerant ministers. In fact, I quite often, when I'm working with people, when I'm teaching or telling them just informally about the power of the gospel and fulfilling their calling, I will often ask, are you prayed up? You know, are you confessed up? You know, have you confessed your sins and such?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a phrase that I grew up with. Are you prayed up? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you starting out with that simple prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do today with the gifts, abilities, and opportunities that you've given me? If you're doing all of those things, and that's your heart stance, then you can move about with fair certainty that you are exactly where God has you to be, and you are who He has you to be for this moment in time and space. Otherwise, He'd have you someplace else and have you doing something else. You're not waiting on the move of God to start. The move of God is happening right now as you walk through your life with eyes wide open.
I was brought up, maybe perhaps like you, that we needed to be just good people, right? And work hard and ask God if He likes what we're doing and work to please Him. In fact, there was one of my parents' favorite song was Living for Jesus. And there's a phrase in there, living to please Him in all that I do. And I grew up thinking that my job was to live to please Jesus, and it never occurred to me, I was never taught that He is already pleased because of what He's done for me on the cross. He's filled me with His Spirit, and that life is not just living to please Him, because that's already done, but life is living to cooperate with Him, living to join Him in His work. so that when I go through my day, it's not just, am I pleasing my Lord? But when I go through my day, it is, Lord, how are you going before me? How can I cooperate or join you in the work that you are doing?
Yeah. There's a passage in one of the Pauline letters that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And people will quote that and say, you know, you have to work along with God and always be checking to make sure you're on track, this whole fear and trembling thing.
Yeah.
And it gets quoted in that context. And I was reading it one time and it hit me like a ton of bricks that fear and trembling is the normal human response to the presence of God.
It is.
So you can read that passage more, work out your own salvation in the presence of God, moving about. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. Moving about in that presence, experiencing that presence, trying not to fall down because of the weight of his glory.
Yeah.
Responding in fear and trembling. But then don't stop there. As you're reading the passage, read the rest of what it says. You know, people say, well, got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not what the passage says. The passage says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you to will and to do his good favor. Be just astounded that God has chosen to work through all the details of your life and to carry you through. If you're a janitor, you're doing your janitorial work, caring about the presence of God and brushing up against people and leaving a residual atmosphere of the presence of God every place that you go. I mean, when one of those guys cleans a room, don't you think that room is cleaned?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that room is seriously clean.
Yeah. I'm excited about people today, Don, realizing that they already are ready for their spheres of influence.
Well, Dave, I'd just like to close with a couple of stories.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking of a guy that I met a few years ago who's manager of a bank. And he knew the people who worked there, and he knew some of the people in the bank outside of the context of the business. And he invited a few of them to pray. And they began to pray about how God could use them right where they were. And so as people would come in and apply for a loan, and it became apparent that things weren't quite right in their life and world, he would offer to pray for them. Other people in the bank began doing the same thing.
Wow.
If somebody came in and they seemed like they were particularly joyful that day, they'd say, you know, hey, what's going on? And they'd get a report back. If they seemed down, they'd ask, and they'd ask right there, can I pray for you? You know, I talk to God, and can I pray for you about that? Would that seem inappropriate? And as time went on, people in that town, when they needed prayer for their family, when they needed prayer for healing, when they needed prayer for almost anything else, they were as likely to go to the bank as they were to go to church. Because people were getting healed at the bank. People were getting their lives turned around at the bank. You know, I'm thinking of another guy who is a long-haul trucker. He has a run from Michigan to Manhattan, and he does that run twice a week. And he prays all the way across when he's driving. He prays for the communities that he's driving through. Stops for a break, and he sits and he talks. He just shares. Talks to the people, to other truckers. And he gets relationships established with other guys whose life is out on the road. And their lives are impacted by his presence in that situation. He's being an influence for the kingdom right where he is, doing exactly what he's doing, and doing what he's wired to do. He loves it. He loves being on the road. He loves sitting and talking with people in the truck stop. And people come to Christ, and marriages get prayed for, and kids get prayed for, and territories get prayed for. You've got stories, people who've come to you.
Well, I find that if I identify in the morning, and if I am on my way to an event, or even if I'm there, but if my heart is open to joining Christ in his work, and my spirit is alive by the Holy Spirit flowing within me, that God puts people all around me ready for me to touch them, to pray for them. So I was sitting Tuesday at lunch with a group of men. The man across the table was talking about pain in his back that has not been able to go away. He didn't know what it was. He's waiting on some results and needs to have an MRI. And I didn't want to get up in the middle of this restaurant and make a big scene. So I kept putting it out of my head. No, don't pray for him. Putting it out of my head. No, don't pray for him. But by the time we were just about done eating, the screaming in my head was getting louder. Pray for him. Pray for him. So I went and I prayed for him. I got out of my chair and I went around the table. I put my hand on his back and I said, hey, I just need to speak over your back. And his back began to heat up. He could sense that God was touching him. And then the prayer was over. I went back and sat down and went with our day. He didn't speak of healing later, but he spoke of an awareness of God's presence. And he said, it was good to know that God is concerned with my back. Well, I'm waiting to hear how quickly he will be healed. That's one day. And every day there's something like that in my life. Every day. Every day there is. So I'm looking forward to this event tonight. I'm looking forward to going to the gym at 4 o'clock today, because that's a favorite place of a sphere of influence that God lines me up to pray for people. Last week it was Tom. I just met him and talked to him, and Tom was telling me about his household situation, and I said, let me pray, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed. And Tom had never been prayed for before. And ended the conversation with an invitation to the Alpha Course that's coming up at our church. Every place is a sphere of influence. And I'm not special. I'm not any different than anybody else. But I just am aware of spheres of influence. And I'm just aware of joining Jesus, and I'm just free, and I've been given permission. I am realizing that today people are ready, and that people are hungry to begin, and that people have spheres, and they are equipped and given authority and empowered. And today, perhaps, with all this reality, maybe we just need to give them permission. Maybe they're just waiting for someone to give them permission. And so today we say, you have permission. You have permission to be God's man or woman. You have permission to step into God's plan for your life. You have permission to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in the authority of Jesus Christ. You have permission to be God's man or woman in every situation. You have permission to join Jesus Christ. He reaches his hand out to you and says, come, let's walk together. You have permission to be what Paul says, a filled person who walks step by step with the Holy Spirit. You have permission. Today, permission. So we would like to give you this permission as a gift. It's already given, but we're going to just package it up for you today and hand it to you. And we invite you to receive this permission to join the Lord Jesus Christ in your spheres that he's given you, that he's called you into. We invite you to receive it. So in the name of Jesus, I want to give you permission.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is calling you. He's flowing from within you. He is a stream of living water. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today to touch, to be, to speak, to stand for him. It may be subtle, it may be powerful, it may be quiet, it may be loud, it may be touching another, it may be standing with your hands raised, it may be speaking truth, it may be seeing a vision and operating within that vision, it may be a shadow you cast, it may be water you need to walk on, but I give you permission by the will of the Father and the working of the Holy Spirit, permission granted to you today to operate in this fresh anointing and commissioning in your sphere of influence. This is given to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen, done.
Amen. You've been listening to Permission to Be Who You Are, a conversation with Dave Huizenga and DJ Swanger. This and other episodes of Marketplace Kingdom are available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have Dave Huizenga or DJ Swanger as a guest or speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. That's empowermentfriends@gmail.com. If you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can still be accessed at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. And be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. Until next time, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Huizenga.
Remember, you're important to Jesus right where you are. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and a blessed life.